The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. It is 9 p.m. and it is Wednesday evening on the East Coast of the United States. It is, you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on TNT Radio. We're going to follow up on a lot that Kevin McCarthy had to say about committee assignments and who did not get, who got kicked off, booted off the Intelligence Committee, and for damn good reason. And he got into it with a PBS reporter at his press conference. So we'll hear some of that. We also have the President of the United States announcing that we're giving our best tanks, lots of them, to Ukraine. And so is Germany, giving them their best tanks. And that seems to be part of a deal. Germany wouldn't do it if we didn't do it. So we're doing it now, when a week ago we said we weren't doing it. This gets crazier and scarier and nuttier. It's like we're just looking for a conflict with Russia. But before we get to that, there is other news. I mentioned to you yesterday, and I will repeat to you now as we welcome in. First, let's welcome in our guest, Daniel Tomlinson. Welcome back, our guest, Vice President of Advancement at Compass Care, a pregnancy center based in Buffalo, New York. And of course, their pro-life medical office in Buffalo was firebombed on June 7th of last year. They reopened, thankfully, 52 days later. And it's been an ongoing effort to find who did it. Accusations that the FBI and local police were not doing enough. And I venture to say that still might be the case. But Daniel, welcome aboard. We do have some news to talk about. But first, let me ask you, before we get to the FBI and the reward and everything else, first of all, welcome back. Where are we, as far as you know, in finding out who firebombed your facility? And does the reward that the FBI just offered for 10 incidents include Buffalo?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me back on and for the question. So, yes, there have been 78 attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers, specifically over 180 if you include all pro-life entities. And there have been one of those attacks was against Compass Care's medical office in Buffalo. There has been no arrest. Relentless pressure from Compass Care to make arrests. We had delivered a mountain of surveillance footage evidence to the FBI back in June of last year, and here we are in January, and still nobody has been arrested. Compass Care has gone so far as to launch our own private investigation to locate these pro-abortion terrorists that are targeting pro-life pregnancy centers. We're partnering with the Thomas More Society to hire a private investigator to find these perpetrators. The FBI did just, they had offered right after the midterm, actually in November, they finally did something. And we think it was probably due to the House Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, starting to make good on his promise to investigate the political bias and politicization of the federal law enforcement agency, specifically in a 1,000-page report referring to the attacks on pregnancy centers and referencing the Compass Care attack in particular as proof of the FBI's complicity in the targeting or in the abdication of their duty as well as the targeting of pro-life people. Soon after that, they offered a $25,000 reward for the apprehension of the arsonist, the pro-abortion terrorist that firebombed Compass Care's medical office, and then just recently did another $25,000 reward for 9 other additional attacks that have been targeting pro-life pregnancy centers.
Right, and I'm going to make a point of that, but I'll make a point of it now, because what the media has done is spin this in a terrible, terribly misleading way, on purpose, of course. 9 of the 10 cases that the FBI has just issued a reward for involve attacks on pro-life centers. Yet when the media has talked about it, and I'll let you hear a couple of examples in a few minutes, they talk about it as if the reward was offered for even though it was only one, an abortion center that was attacked, but they make it sound like all the rewards were for abortion center attacks, and when in fact it was 9-1 the other way. Let me ask you this: we had two people charged on Tuesday with threatening service facilities, pro-life facilities in Florida, and by the way, Andy Ngo, the great Andy Ngo, claims that these people are Antifa, and they were indicted by a federal grand jury for being engaged in a conspiracy to prevent employees of reproductive health service facilities from providing those services. They targeted pregnancy resource facilities, vandalized those facilities, spray painted threats on there. And so what's your take on finally those two arrests, which really, I mean, it's so lopsided. It's so lopsided when it comes to who's been arrested, one side against the other.
Yeah, so I've got thoughts. So this is, to be clear, this is the first ever indictment of pro-abortion extremists for attacks on Christian pro-life pregnancy centers, the first ever. So, and they were indicted on the FACE Act, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrance Act. That was the Clinton-era act, federal act. And this is the first ever indictment of pro-abortion activists, extremists, whatever you want to call them, ever in the history of that FACE Act. It's always been used to actively target pro-life people. So this is the very first time it's ever been used and ever been an indictment ever against pro-abortion extremists on a FACE Act violation. The FBI and the DOJ still refuse to publicly acknowledge the organized targeting of Christian pro-life entities. And are refusing to recognize the crime wave against those pro-life organizations as domestic terrorism attacks. Glad that they have finally caught and done something. Two people, one, but they're treating it like an isolated incident. And, you know, it is possible that the local police and the DOJ got their wires crossed. And the DOJ just basically tried to, put a good face on it. It's possible the Miami police solved the case and the DOJ just conveniently took credit for it because of the pressure they're getting to actually do something about this. But these indictments.
Wow. So you're saying, Daniel, not to interrupt, but you're saying that it's possible that they really. The DOJ, the FBI really didn't want these arrests, but the police down in Orlando arrested them, FBI had to go along with it?
I can only go. So Jim Harden, Compass Care CEO, and I were talking about this earlier this week, maybe just today or yesterday. You know, I just wonder, you know, potentially, just based off of the last 7-plus months of nothing, of finding nobody, arresting nobody at the local, state, or federal level, nearly 80 attacks against pregnancy centers. This has been going on for months and months and months. Finally, they indict these two. And I'm just, you know, we were wondering if maybe the Miami police got ahead and solved the case. And then the DOJ, you know, basically took credit for it. You know, these indictments ought to just be the tip of the iceberg, though, when it comes to this what seems to be a conspiracy to deprive pro-life citizens of equal protection under the law. The fact that the DOJ is still refusing to publicly acknowledge that these nationwide crimes as domestic terror tells us that they're still playing politics with law enforcement.
Very interesting. Now, if convicted, the two suspects could face up to a maximum of 12 years in prison. Let's see how this all plays out. And if they even serve any time in prison, I'll be very anxious to see. We're talking to Daniel Tomlinson, vice president of advancement at Compass Care up in Buffalo. All right. So let me you hear something. This is Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC. She has on former head of Planned Parenthood. I believe it's Cecily Richard. I don't know how she pronounces it. Anyway, talking about the FBI issuing the reward for 10 cases, as you alluded to earlier. So let's hear cut 273.
What about the issue, Cecile, of what the FBI is calling domestic terrorism? They are now offering $25,000 rewards for any information on recent attacks against 10 reproductive health care clinics. How concerning are these attacks and the implications for the women, the emotional stress on women and healthcare workers?
Now,
well, of course, it's horrifying to think that this is happening in the United States, but it is, you're right, these attacks on doctors, on healthcare providers.
Okay, so she's making it sound, they're both making it sound as if the FBI is offering rewards for people who are messing up abortion clinics.
Yeah. Yeah. If that isn't a twisting of reality, I don't know what is. They call them reproductive health centers, which is accurate. But because you've got the former CEO of Planned Parenthood, they're leading their audience to believe that these are people who provide or refer for abortions, who actually kill preborn babies in the womb, which is not the case at all. All of the rewards are against or finding the perpetrators against pregnancy centers. The agency listed 9 additional attacks. That's for a total of 10. So they listed Compass Care's Buffalo office back in November, and they just listed 9 more, all for pro-life pregnancy centers in their Seeking Information webpage. The high-profile firebombing of the Compass Care medical office in Buffalo, New York, like I said, was back in November. Now they just added 9 more, and they were all against pro-life pregnancy centers. The antithesis of Planned Parenthood. Ideological opponents of Planned Parenthood. So what a twisting, what an absolute twisting of reality.
Let me just let you hear how the former president of Planned Parenthood continued with her answer. This is cut 274.
But Andrea, I think you mentioned a point that to me is really important, and that is what the Republican Party, through these abortion bans, the kind of bounty hunter system that is in place in places like Texas, it has created fear across the country for women, for young people, for families. And that to me, that is why I think we have seen such a rejection of these policies. And it's as these abortion bans are in effect longer and longer, we're seeing more women, more patients who can't get medical care because doctors and healthcare providers are terrified of breaking laws that haven't even really been fully explained and were written by non-medical professionals. So it's a climate of fear. I'm glad the federal government has stepped in.
that dig at the end, again, totally misleading. But imagine non-medical professionals writing laws. I didn't know medical professionals wrote laws.
Yeah. Well, when you're a multi-billion dollar abortion industry with, using taxpayer funds to lobby for more permissive abortion laws and more money through federal and state money, they probably have a misconstrual of who's actually making the law. But
I got one more for you. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is the classic pro-abortion propaganda, as if abortion is medicine. Abortion never has been medicine and never will be medicine. It's actually the antithesis of medicine, because the purpose of medicine is to heal and maintain the health of a whole person. And abortion doesn't do that for the woman, and it doesn't do that for the preborn child. It treats a pregnancy as a disease, which is erroneous at best. What happened to do no harm? The original Hippocratic Oath that all doctors used to swear to says right in it, it says, I will not give a woman an abortive remedy. And why is that? Because those who are meant to be dealing in the maintaining of health, of the saving of life, should also be dealing in death. And that is what abortion is the dealing in death.
Now, Daniel, you and I have talked about the inability of the Republicans to get the message out to win on a winning issue, an issue where the American public overwhelmingly, if they don't favor no abortions, they certainly favor limitations on abortions. And what the Democrats have done, and before the midterms, they all voted in the House and the Senate, but not enough in the Senate, of course, didn't get Republican support, so it didn't pass. they say they're codifying Roe. They're not codifying Roe. They voted to have abortion on demand through 9 months, federally funded abortions. The Republicans, instead of pointing this out to the public, which overwhelmingly favors restrictions, and lots of people did like Roe, they decided to shut up and not say anything. Instead, Lindsey Graham said a federal ban on abortion, which gave them tons of ammunition. Now, recently, as I'm sure you're aware, in the House, they passed two bills. One bill just said that you can't, we denounce violence against pro-life centers. And maybe one Democrat or two voted for it. It passed, but Democrats said no. The other bill was to if a baby's born alive of a botched abortion, if you will, the doctor has a responsibility to keep that baby alive, give it treatment. The Democrats voted no. Now, if America knew this, they'd be outraged. Again, the Republicans don't talk about it. But I want you to hear Richard Todd. I want you to hear Chuck Todd. I'm going back to the old Jets quarterback. Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. And he has on Nancy Mace, who's really ticking me off. She's a Republican. And she's really good. This is after the votes I just mentioned. And here's that cut. This is 272.
Unfortunately, is you got folks that just see it as a morality issue or as a personal freedom issue, and so compromising either your morals or your freedoms is very difficult to do. Do you think this is just we're not ready yet in our politics that we need to go through a few more cycles? Do you think your party needs to lose more on this issue before more folks look at it the way you look at it?
Well, it's the reason we didn't get more of a majority. We should have had a dozen or two dozen seat majority this legislative session, but we don't, because this is one of the issues that was top of mind for swing voters. And when you're looking ahead to 24, whether it's keeping the majority or trying to win the White House, going to the extremes and digging in there isn't going to work for most people.
This is a Republican congresswoman from South Carolina who keeps saying she's in a swing district, as if to explain why she's saying what she's saying. But she's commenting, and so is Todd, on the extreme votes that were taken by the House saying they don't get it. Do they have to lose more elections to learn? And what did they vote on? Saving a baby's life that's born alive and not bombing pro-life centers.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to be clear, Republicans are not, you know, the red wave that was supposed to happen at the midterms that ended up being a red ripple died on the beach, not because Republicans were too pro-life, but because Republicans were too cowardly when it came to the pro-life cause. They were refusing to talk about abortion, scrubbing their websites about it, hiding behind inflation and crime. And a closer look at these Republicans who actually won reveals that being pro-life is actually a winning political strategy. Morality always trumps money. You can talk about money and economy all day long, but the Democrats were talking about abortion left, right, and center because they knew it was going to galvanize their base. Republicans don't get that. They don't understand that talking about abortion and talking about protect their job as a politician is to protect all of their citizens equally, including the most innocent and vulnerable society, those who are the most vulnerable and need the most protection, which is the preborn boy and girl. She's absolutely wrong.
Yeah, absolutely wrong. Positively wrong. Daniel, I always enjoy our conversations. Keep up the fight, and thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right, Daniel Tomlinson, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Steve Malzberg Show. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk Kevin McCarthy. We're going to talk Ukraine. Hear from Joe Biden. Can't wait for that, right? I know you can't wait for that. Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
Greg Mabry on TNT Radio.
It's often been said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If that's the case, then such corruption would seem most evident when man surrenders so easily to his most depraved and sadistic and absolutely perverted impulses. Now, and considering the extent of the global pedophilia pandemic and child physical and sexual abuse and related criminal activity indulged in by our power elites, one thing is certainly clear: the deep-seated depravity and moral turpitude and studied indifference to human suffering that's manifested by these people. Such crimes themselves are rendered even more shameful by the degree to which their accomplices at the highest levels within and across the political, social and economic spheres so frequently protect these perps from exposure and therefore prosecution is perhaps the biggest blot in the landscape of civilized society and the most savage indictment on our modern humanity.
The No-Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on TNT Radio.
Physical abuse, it's a gradual thing. It starts with a push, it starts with a slap, it starts with that look. And then it just gets worse and worse.
You can't underestimate the impact of a woman being listened to and say, I hear you. This is unacceptable, what you're experiencing, and it can be the first step to rebuild their lives following domestic abuse. For any woman who is considering calling the National Domestic Abuse Helpline, we are completely confidential. Please do give us a call. We are here for you any time of the day or night, and you are not alone.
Phone our free 24-hour helpline on 0808 200247 or visit refuge.org.uk. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
This is the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Joe Biden, and in a reversal of policy from just a week ago, decided that the United States is going to provide a whole bunch of tanks, our most sophisticated, toughest tanks, to Ukraine. And I believe, from what I've heard and read, that Germany, who the U.S. wanted Germany to give their best tanks to Ukraine, Germany said no. And then finally, Germany said, well, if the United States does it, we'll do it. And there you have your reversal in policy. I got to tell you, this is getting very, very scary. Very, very scary. I mean, what we should be doing now is saying, look, let's bring both sides to the table. Instead, Ukraine, backed by the U.S., says, well, first, you know, there are preconditions that have to be met. No. That's not how you go to the table with preconditions. That's why the Palestinians haven't been to the table in 15 years or more with Israel. Joke's on them. Life goes on. They're the ones not going anywhere. The fact of the matter is they want preconditions and they're not going to get them. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm no fan of Russia, but this is Vladimir Putin. You think he's going to say, oh, yes, President Biden. Absolutely, Mr. President Zelensky. Whatever you say. No. This is escalating. We got to stop escalation. Not tit for tat escalation. When Russia launches a huge offensive, do we then send tanks? I mean, when is this going to end? How is this going to end? With a NATO country getting involved, and then we're all involved and we're all at war with Russia, World War III, nukes. So let me let you hear what Biden had to say. Here he is, cut 320.
Armored capability, as General Austin will tell you, has been critical. And that's why the United States has committed hundreds of armored fighting vehicles to date, including more than 500 as part of the assistance package we announced last Friday. And today I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine, the equivalent of one Ukrainian battalion. Secretary Austin has recommended this step because it will enhance the Ukraine's capacity to defend its territory and achieve its strategic objectives. The Abrams tanks are the most capable tanks in the world. They're also extremely complex to operate and maintain. So we're also giving Ukraine the parts and equipment necessary to effectively sustain these tanks on the battlefield. And we'll begin to train the Ukrainian troops on these issues of sustainment, logistics, and maintenance as soon as possible.
Yeah. Where are you going to train them? Are we going to train them in Ukraine? You think there's not going to be issues? You think there's not going to be American troops on the ground in Ukraine training these people? So last week, we committed to 500 tanks, not one Abrams tank. And now, lo and behold, a week later, 31 of our top-of-the-line tanks. Gee, what a coinkydink, huh? Had nothing to do with the deal with Germany, I'm sure. Here's cut 321.
Delivering these tanks to the field is going to take time. Time that we'll use to make sure the Ukrainians are fully prepared to integrate the Abrams tanks into their defenses. We're also closely coordinated this announcement with our allies. The American contribution will be joined by an additional announcement, including that will be readily available and more easily integrated for use in the battlefield in the coming weeks and months from other countries. I'm grateful to Chancellor Scholz for providing German Leopard 2 tanks and will lead an effort to organize a European contribution of 2 tank battalions for Ukraine.
There you go. Escalation, escalation, escalation. Now, look, I'm not saying this is justifiable, but if you're Russia and you see NATO, led by the US and Germany, sending over their most sophisticated tanks to be used against you, I don't know how he's going to react. I'm not saying we should be afraid of Putin. On the other hand, we keep poking him, daring him. And I don't know where this ends. I don't think anybody knows where this ends. But instead of trying to wind it down, instead of the president making a speech and saying, I will be the mediator, I will be personally involved. Let Putin pick someone who's personally involved on his side, or maybe Putin himself. Let's all come to the table. Let's talk. No. No. Instead, we're escalating with the weapons we're sending. It just doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. It doesn't make sense. A week ago, huge aid package with 500 tanks. And now this? Here's more, one more from Biden, cut 322.
That's what this is about, helping Ukraine defend and protect Ukrainian land. It is not an offensive threat to Russia. There is no offensive threat to Russia. If Russia troops return to Russia, they'll be there where they belong. This war would be over today. That's what we all want, an end to this war in just and lasting terms. You know, our teams do not permit one nation. We're not going to allow one nation to steal a neighbor's territory by force. Our terms that preserve Russia's sovereignty, Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, and honor the UN Charter. They're the terms we're working on.
That's our terms. Our terms. We will not allow. These are the terms we are working on. Really? It's our war? I mean, I'm sorry. That's I don't like to hear that. And to say, hey, these are not offensive weapons. Okay, fine. No Russian soldier, he said, what did he say? It will be hurt if the Russian troops just get out and go back to Russia. Well, we know that's not going to happen. I just want to see this end. I'd like to see a try at a summit first before we make these decisions like this. But you heard him say, our terms. Our terms. Russia cannot have any of the land. Russia's got to get out. I remember at the beginning, the president said it depends how far they go in, how much they take. And now all of a sudden it's like, you know, there's something going on. I have no idea what it is, but there's something going on, and it scares me. It scares me. It's just escalating and escalating and escalating. You know how much we've given Ukraine? And there's no end in sight. Not with this administration. You know, we've heard over the course of the year since Russia invaded, unfortunately, that, you know, Putin must go. Well, is that still our strategy? Our strategy. Don't you just our terms, excuse me, our terms. Well, here's National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. And he was at a press conference and he was asked about all this as well, of course. Here is 323.
I think we need to prepare ourselves that to continue to support Ukraine for quite some time. I can't be perfectly predictive on that. And I obviously, and you heard the president say this today, we'd like to see this war end today. And it absolutely could. All Putin has to do is pull his troops out of Ukraine, call it a day, and it's over. But he has shown no signs of being willing to do that.
We have to be prepared to support Ukraine for a long time. And all Putin has to do is not come to the table and talk this over with both sides. No, all Putin has to do is take a white flag, wave it, give one to each of the soldiers as they withdraw and run home with their tails between their legs. Now, don't get me wrong. Putin never should have invaded Ukraine. That was bullcrap. But what do we expect? We expect it. We've now heard it from Biden, and we now heard it from Kirby. The only way this stops is if Putin surrenders. What's the likelihood of that happening? How about zero? This is not good. This is not good. If you asked Americans right now, if you added up all the money in weapons and financial and just finances given to Ukraine, and you compared it to what's given to other countries, the budget for this, the budget for that, and tell them there's no end in sight, do you think they'd say, oh yeah, keep doing it? I don't. And what if you tell them, you know, God forbid, there's always the likelihood that Putin lashing out might decide, hey, we're going to accidentally have a stray missile hit a NATO country. And if we don't accept that it was an accidental stray missile, or if he doesn't say it was an accident, because it wasn't, then we're all involved in World War III? Why don't you ask the Americans how they feel about that? The Americans. Why don't you ask us Americans how we feel about that possibility? As opposed to at least trying to end this through talks and compromise. But what I'm hearing from Kirby and Biden and from Putin is no compromise. Well, so you got to sit down and talk first. You got to meet. You got to see what's possible. Am I wrong? I just don't get it. Now, let me make it clear. I'm not rooting for Putin. I'm rooting for us, which I guess Ukraine is us, according to Biden. I'm rooting for the good guys. But I don't want this escalating. I don't want this going on. I don't want the world disrupted. I don't want nukes to be flying over something that seems very preventable. And I think Biden owes us an explanation as to why. It's obvious, but he's got to say it. And Kirby, too. Why a week ago, none of these Abrams tanks in a package of 500 tanks, and now all of a sudden, 31 of the best top-of-the-line tanks combined with Germany? Nope. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I think we got one more. This is Philip Wegman from Real Clear Politics to Kirby. Here's 324.
Two quick follow-ups. You noted that our military aid to Ukraine has evolved with conditions on the ground. And the president previously said that these M1 Abrams were needed to liberate Ukraine. Does the administration expect any operations moving forward that would include retaking Crimea or lands that were lost during the Russian invasion?
I'm not going to talk about Ukrainian operations. I would just never violate their operational security and certainly wouldn't divulge from the podium what their plans and intentions are. I will only say this, that we do not dictate to the Ukrainians how they operate, where they operate, what missions they conduct, what targets they choose. We help them with usable information and intelligence as best we can so that they can be successful, but these are their decisions to make. It is their country, their war. Our job is to make sure that they can prosecute that war successfully.
And I want to follow up to make sure that I understood you correctly. You said previously in your assessment of both military and economic aid to Ukraine that at this point thus far you haven't seen any signs of corruption or misuse?
Correct.
Correct, he said. No signs of corruption or misuse of the funds we've sent and the weapons we've sent. But the answer where he would not answer, the question that he would not answer about is part of Ukraine's goal here to retake Crimea, for example, and he would not answer that. I mean, that's a whole different ball game. That's on top of everything else. It's very, very, let me put it this way. We should all be very concerned what's going on here on both sides. The offensive that Russia launches from, you know, every so often, you know, with civilian targets and civilians getting killed, and how this is escalating. Instead of us trying to be peacemakers, we're facilitating whatever, as Kirby just said, basically whatever Ukraine wants to do. And we've heard Zelensky, non-yielding in any way, shape, or form, like Putin. And when you have those two positions, there's no end in sight. No good end in sight. Let's certainly put it that way. Okay, when we come back, you're going to hear Kevin McCarthy justify why Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell are off of the Intelligence Committee, thank God. And he says it in no uncertain terms. I'm Steve Malzberg, right here on TNT Radio.
Let's get rid of 7 billion people? Did Jane Goodall really say that at the World Economic Forum?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Jane Goodall, who made famous as an environmentalist who lived among the chimpanzees observing their behavior, may have spent too much time with the chimps, as she's now very anti-human. Here is Jane Goodall at the World Economic Forum in Davos.
We cannot hide away from human population growth. Because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
That's right. If you go back 500 years, you get a world population of about 1 billion people, or 7 billion less than our current number. Maybe if humans could live among the chimpanzees, we could reduce our carbon footprint. You've heard of the movement called the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement, profiled by the New Yorker magazine? Well, perhaps we're fast approaching the day when the word voluntary may be removed from the group's title. This is Mark Morano for TNT Radio and the Morano Minute.
In times of fear, World Vision is there for the most vulnerable. For the last 70 years, we've been standing with kids and families through natural disasters, war, and disease, delivering life-saving aid and helping rebuild lives. And with every act of courage, faith, and love, we do more than just stop the spread of fear. We replace it with hope. Learn more at worldvision.org.
Child labor and toxic leaks, the price we pay for a greener future. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
All right, folks, we are back. Don't forget, check out at Steve M Talk on Twitter and Facebook and stevemtalk.com and everything Steve M Talk YouTube channel. It's all there. It's all there for the taking if you so desire. Okay, so let's shift gears here a little bit, and let's go to Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, battling it out here with a PBS reporter at his press conference. Lisa DeJorens is her name. And basically the topic of conversation is she says something to the effect of, well, you know, you let that phony guy from George Santos from New York on a committee, not the Intelligence Committee, but a committee, which he did, a couple of them. But you kick Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, two Democrats, off of the Intelligence Committee. And there is absolutely no comparison. One has nothing to do with the other. And here's why. Here's McCarthy, 315.
You just raised a question. I'm going to be very clear with you. The Intel Committee is different. You know why? Because what happens in the Intel Committee, you don't know. What happens in the Intel Committee, although the secrets are going on in the world, other members of Congress don't know. What did Adam Schiff do as the chairman of the Intel Committee? What Adam Schiff did, use his power as a chairman and lie to the American public. Even the Inspector General said it. When Devin Nunes put out a memo, he said it was false. When we had a laptop, he used it before an election to be politics and say that it was false and said it was the Russians. When he knew different, when he knew the Intel, if you talk to John Radcliffe, DNI, he came out ahead of time and says there's no intel to prove that, and he used his position as chairman, knowing he has information the rest of America does not, and lied to the American public. When a whistleblower came forward, he said he did not know the individual, even though his staff had met with him and set it up. So no, he does not have a right to sit on that.
All right, he does not have a right to sit on that committee just because he was chairman. He did lie. You have Schiff claiming that over and over again. Remember the Russian collusion. How many times did he come out as the chairman of the Intel Committee and say there's ample evidence of collusion? Ample evidence. Where was the ample evidence? Of course, there was no ample evidence that the Russians gave the Trump campaign help. Mike Pompeo said that he lied about classified information. So this guy doesn't belong on the committee, and neither does Eric Swalwell. Here's cut 316.
But I will not be like Democrats and play politics with these, where they removed Republicans from committees and all committees. So yes, he can serve on a committee, but he will not serve on Intel because it goes to the national security of America. And I will always put them first. All right. And if you want to talk about Swalwell, let's talk about Swalwell, because you have not had the briefing that I had. I had the briefing and Nancy Pelosi had the briefing from the FBI. The FBI never came before this Congress to tell the leadership of this Congress that Eric Swalwell had a problem with a Chinese spy until he served on Intel. So it wasn't just us who were concerned about it. The FBI was concerned about putting a member of Congress on the Intel Committee that has the rights to see things that others don't because of his knowledge and relationship with a Chinese spy. They brought it to the works of the leaders. I've got that briefing. So I do not believe he should sit on there, that committee.
Good for him. Good for him. I think we need to get Nancy Pelosi under oath and ask her why she believes Swalwell was qualified to sit on that committee after getting the briefing from the FBI. I think that's what we need to talk about. Okay, that aside. So Andrea Mitchell, if you were with me earlier in the show, we had our guest. We were talking about the FBI offering a reward for $25,000 reward for information leading to the arrests of people who defaced, burned, whatever, anything, attacked 9 pro-life centers and 1 abortion clinic. And Andrea Mitchell did a story, had a guest, and made it sound like the reward was offered for all of them were attacks on abortion clinics, which was a lie. It was 10% of the 10 cases, 1 out of 10. So here's Andrea Mitchell again. I don't know where she gets this information from, but basically she's disputing everything Kevin McCarthy just said about, I believe it's Swalwell. It might be Schiff. I forget, but here it is. Cut 317.
Speaker Kevin McCarthy has followed through on his threat, booting two key Democrats off of the House Intelligence Committee, including former chair and Trump impeachment manager Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, who was also on the first impeachment committee. In a contentious exchange with reporters Tuesday night, McCarthy said it was a matter of national security, falsely accusing Schiff of lies about Donald Trump while defending his decision to place proven liar George Santos on two committees.
This has nothing to do with Santos. Santos is not on the Intel Committee. But you know what? Those voters elected Schiff, even though he lied. Those voters elected Swalwell, even though he lied to the American public, too. So you know what? I'll respect his voters, too, and they'll serve on committees. But they will not serve on a place that has national security reverence, because integrity matters to me.
McCarthy also named Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene to a new COVID panel, despite her comparing pandemic health measures to the genocide against Jews during the Holocaust. But remember, integrity matters to him.
Oh, Andrea, somebody really has to wake you up. It's so sad watching Andrea Mitchell. Look, I'm not for making, you know, mandatory retirement. I'm not for taking the elderly off the air. Let her run for president, because that seems to be something that's acceptable. When you sound like you're sleeping and you're putting other people to sleep by listening to you, and you know, you say crazy things like she just said, seems to me she'd be better fit for president than as an anchor on MSNBC. But what do I know? All right, so that's Andrea Mitchell. Let's move on to the aforementioned Mike Pompeo. Former CIA director under Trump, former Secretary of State under Trump, former congressman, of course. His first cut here is about, it's about Ukraine, actually. Here's 305.
We should be helping America. Mm. And helping America means a sovereign nation that is prepared to defend itself from an invasion and an attack where civilians are being killed by Vladimir Putin is in America's best interest for our economy, for our security. We should be doing everything the Ukrainians are asking us to do. They haven't asked us to send our soldiers. They haven't asked for the 82nd Airborne. They've simply said, provide us the stuff we need. And it is their lives that are at risk. And the Biden administration has been afraid to win. Right. They've been afraid to provide the Ukrainians with the tools they need to be successful. And this will end with a negotiated solution. We should get to that point as quickly as we can. And the quickest way to end this war is to provide the Ukrainians with the military assets, the intelligence that they need to actually push Vladimir Putin off the mark.
Really? So this will end with a negotiation. This is where I love Mike Pompeo, but I disagree with him here wholeheartedly. So this will end with a negotiated settlement? After Ukraine gets these tanks in 3 or 4 months, and after they use them, what, when Putin is crying in his bed at night and getting the white flags ready, and comes says, oh, please, let's go to the table. And then Zelensky says, you get off of every single piece of land. And he says, oh, absolutely. Is that what Pompeo envisions? Because that's what Biden envisions. That's what Zelensky envisions. Why do we have to wait? Why can't we negotiate a settlement right now? It just, again, doesn't make any sense. And speaking of not making any sense, let's go to The View. You got to question this a little bit. You know, Diamond and Silk, the two sisters, the conservative sisters who were just wonderful. And Lynette Diamond died. She passed away at, I think, the age of 51. And at the funeral service, Silk, her sister, Lynette Diamond Hardaway, I should say. And so Silk, her sister, gave a eulogy. And then Donald Trump came up and said, boy, I've never met Silk before, but she's great, isn't she? Of course he met Silk. There's pictures all over with him meeting Diamond and Silk. I mean, how could you have met Diamond and not Silk? They were in the White House together with him. There were pictures. I don't understand what he meant by that. I don't understand how we could forget. But my point is, okay, what if Biden had said it? What if Biden had said, oh, I don't look, Biden was looking for a dead woman in the audience. Biden said his son died in Iraq. If I stood here and tried to tell you, or sat here and tried to tell you all the things that Biden said that aren't true, or that made him look like a bumbling idiot, we couldn't do it. No time. Does The View talk about any of those? No. Does the media? No. But the second Trump does anything, like make a mistake about I never met Silk before. Oh, and then they pile on other things and implying that, Trump is old. Trump doesn't know what he's doing. It really is fascinating to watch these sick, twisted liberal minds in action. So here is cut 306.
I thought I knew them both. I didn't. I knew Diamond, but I didn't know Silk at all. I just learned about Silk. You're fantastic. You're going to carry on beyond anybody's wildest imagination.
Wasn't that Silk that introduced him?
Well, he invited them both to the White House and took pictures with them, so maybe he just forgot her.
Some people should just not have speaking roles.
Some people should not have speaking roles. Yeah, I know. Not Joe Biden. He should speak. Do you see the hypocrisy? Do you see how dumb they think we are? Do you see how they operate? I've told you over and over again. When Trump once had something wrong with his arm, and to get a glass of water, he was at the podium speaking, to get a glass of water up to his mouth, he had to bend his elbow with the glass, had the glass in the hand, and had to push up on the elbow with the free hand. And right away, oh my God, something's wrong. Get him out of office. Or when he was walking down a slippery ramp at West Point, and he had to hold on to the railing. Oh my God, he can't walk. Get him out. He's not capable to serve. Biden? Comparing that to Biden? They don't. Biden doesn't do any of the things you and I know he does. He doesn't say any of the things you and I know he says. So the second they could go back to a Republican or Trump in this case, he made a mistake. Oh, maybe he shouldn't speak anymore. Right. Not Biden, but Trump. Here's 307.
The evangelical, yeah. It's interesting to me, the evangelical thing, because he paid off a porn star, he mocks the handicapped, the challenge, physically challenged, he encouraged an insurrection, mm-hmm. He's broken a lot of the commandments, Ten Commandments.
He held the Bible upside down.
He Corinthians 2 or something?
Two
he made up something.
And he held the Bible upside down.
If you were to pay out of 350 million people in this country, if you would take the most irreligious person in America, it would be him. And yet, they like him for some reason. But now, they don't. Why? Because he's a loser. That's why. Yeah.
Are you following this? Trump's a loser. So you're talking about how the evangelicals don't like Trump anymore because they haven't endorsed him yet as a group. Loser. Oh, he held the Bible upside down. He held the Bible upside down. put him to death. Treason. All right, here's 308.
You may be right. I mean, what I was reading this morning is that he won about 80% of the white evangelical vote in 2020, even after the insurrection.
Yeah.
Where there was death and chaos and mayhem, and that sort of surprised me. But the other thing I learned is that the GOP needs the support of white evangelicals to win elections in much the same way the Democrats need black support in order to get into the White House.
True.
And so this could really mean something if they are turning against him, because without their support, I don't know that he gets
the nod. That's Sonny. That's the brain surgeon, Sonny Hostin. And Sonny's not her real name, of course. Here's Alyssa Farah Griffin, the token conservative who worked in the Trump administration. And here's 309.
I honestly think it's totally overstated. They just haven't come out and endorsed him yet because nobody else has declared for president. And I hate to say this, but I think reports of Trump's demise are greatly overstated. The last three polls, Harvard poll, Emerson poll, Morning Consult, have Trump leading Ron DeSantis, and some of them by double digits.
Yeah. They also have him leading Joe Biden in the latest Emerson poll by 3 points. Here's Joy Behar. 310.
You know, they already got all these religious zealots in the Supreme Court, so they're cool now, you know?
That's not Christ's way.
At the end of the day, I think the motivating factor for evangelicals is the issue around abortion, and he can still tout that he, you know, nominated 3 Supreme Court justices, and that's what he's going to argue. But I would say do not discount Trump's ability to come back. There's also, I know, I don't trust the polls anymore either, but there's one that has him head-to-head beating Biden by 3 points, too. This guy's not going away.
Yep. He's not going away. What'd she say? That's not Jesus's way. That's Sonny Hostin with a smirk. These people, really. Again, Disney, ABC News, you must be so proud. These women are just fantastic. All right, folks, tomorrow, you're going to hear the story of two married men, married to each other, who adopted two young boys, allegedly had sex with them, pimped them out to friends, and posted it online. Brace yourself, is all I got to say. Please tune in and have your friends and enemies tune in. Thanks for listening to TNT Radio.